Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Real Livinia Spirita with Mary Lou Nemecek. A lot of countries.
Countries that you wouldn't even recognize the name sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they were celebrating their 40th year, which is ironic. So it's a wonderful, wonderful organization.
And so usually they have a Renewal Ministries gathering weekend in April sometime, in which 300 to 400 people usually gather, and it's a wonderful time of prayer and intercession and fellowship and silliness and great talks and breakout sessions and all that stuff. And so this year, of course, because of the coronavirus lockdown, they held it in a virtual setting, which means that Peter and Ralph were in a sanctuary at Christ the King in Ann Arbor with a wonderful professional crew. And they also had a full worship team, which was great. Everybody socially distanced, of course. And it was really inspiring. I don't know about you, Mary Lou, but it was a great shot in the arm.
Oh, it was wonderful. I watched it live, and you can go to YouTube and go back and watch it. So I want to encourage people to do that. Mm-hmm. But because it was on YouTube like that, the presentation, instead of being in Ann Arbor where there's several hundred people, as you mentioned, there were people watching from Australia, I mean, from all over the world, and they would be getting these emails, and they would share some of the emails as the evening went on. So it's really quite astounding how under these circumstances where you thought this dire situation really turned out to be a situation where so many more people could watch and participate and watch it later through YouTube. So I think of it as kind of a blessing in disguise. You never know.
Oh, absolutely. And it was also on their Facebook page. That also your Renewal Ministries Facebook page. You can go back and look at it there. It was just very, very, very inspiring. It was funny. Ralph read out the email of one lady who said, I set my alarm. I'm in Australia or in New Zealand or, you know, down under. And I set my alarm for 3:30 in the morning so that I could.
Yeah. And I think there was a priest in Africa that emailed. So it was just, you know, we are a community of believers. And that certainly reminded us of that we are a universal church.
They only go where they're invited. They only go with the permission of the local ordinary, the bishop, and they're just, anyway, those are our spiritual roots, I think, as Catholic with Bible study and us personally as well. So Peter Herbeck gave the first talk, and I summed up the first part when we met last time, talking about how we're living in prophetically significant times. Nations and the church are being shaken. There's an unseen enemy. Seriously, it's unseen, unless you have like an electron microscope, right? By this virus. You know, my daughter is in a school right now. One of my daughters is in school, and she was in the middle of a microbiology class when all this happened. So it's interesting how, you know, I've been helping her with a few things, and that a virus is actually not even alive. A bacteria is a teeny, teeny, tiny little animal, you know? But a virus is just a little bit of DNA wrapped up in a piece of fat, you know, fat and other, you know, water, little shells. And that's why washing your hands, the soap, degrades the grease, degrades the fat around the virus. And that's why washing your hands is effective against a virus, which I thought was pretty interesting. But this virus isn't even alive.
It's that like is some, very interesting.
It's some stray piece of, you know, whatever that is truly wreaking havoc, right? But we are called to be still, right? And I mean, I don't know about you, but I am called to be still because I got nowhere to go. You know, everything's shut. You know, I mean, our big whoop-de-doo is like, you know, take people to the grocery store or something. You know?
That's a day out.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, I went from before, you did too, from lives with appointments and, oh, I don't have enough time and I don't have enough time to read. I don't have enough time to pray. Two, we got nothing but, you know, and once you get out of the fear and anxiety mode, the panic mode, which a lot of people, I think, were in, hopefully it's abating quite a bit. But I think I, at least, and I know you were called into a deeper abiding because there always is more. And when the world... What I thought was interesting was 3 months ago, we had one of the best economies that we've ever had, right? Everybody was saying,
in the world,
we're going to do this, we're going to do that, this is amazing, we're bulletproof, blah, 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 right? And, or even 2 months ago. But now we have no control over the financial crisis that is like snowballing, right? Because of the shutdown. And so, there's the question, where is our strength? Where is our treasure? Is it in the economy? Is it in our financial stability? Is it in our political situation? Is it in, what is it in? And so I think he was talking about how this whole divine reset, this divine pause, has caused the church in a certain way and the world to hit the reset button. You know, we're in a pause button. We're in a Sabbath, in a divine Sabbath. I've heard it. You and I know, you know, we troll the internet regularly. I mean, there's all kinds of ways in which this period of time has been defined as a pause, as a reset, as a Sabbath, as a rest time. And this is probably the calm before the storm. At least that's what a lot of people are saying. A lot of prophetic insight that we have been receiving also seems to think that this is a time for us to kind of get our act together before the Lord's mighty move on the other end of all this.
And, as he said, it's, you know, it got everybody off of their treadmills of life and brought us into the quiet. And, you know, how unusual is that for us to experience true quiet, you know? And it's healthy because, you know, he mentions this many times through his talk, you can't hear God unless you're quiet. And this has really been an exercise for all of us because we want to be busy. We want that noise. We want that, you know, sense, especially I think us Americans, that we're out doing something.
Right.
And I think God is calling us to be quiet. And he did it at the time of Lent, which I think is the perfect timing as we were all walking that road with him to Calvary. Mm-hmm. And how much we missed, I know you and I did, being able to be in church, mm-hmm. to see the liturgies, to partake in the liturgies. And we were robbed of that in a sense, except for going online, which was a godsend, but yet mm-hmm. we knew it wasn't the natural way that we would normally
right.
be doing things.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I've been to Zoom prayer meetings. I've given talks over Zoom. We've actually prayed over people over Zoom, which is really something. Because when you think about it, the Lord, he uses us, but he doesn't need us, you know. He doesn't need us to lay hands, to be there physically, you know, with people. The Lord will do what he will. He just wants us to step out and be available, whether it's over Zoom or not, right? Or Skype or whatever, right? So what is the net effect of all this shaking? Well, it's purifying. What does, you know, when you take something and you shake it, what falls off? That's my mental picture. what's the core that stays, and what are all the little bits that have like maybe barnacled on over time, and when it that thing is shaken, what is falling off? Well, a lot of stuff is falling off, right? I mean, we need to, like in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, it says, make sure that you hold on to what is unshakable. And what is unshakable? The kingdom, the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. Seek first the kingdom and all else will be added. But if you put the other things first and the kingdom is on the outside, when you are shaken, there is nothing left. So the idea is, where is our strength? You know, we're being purified. And not only us, not only us as a society, as a country, as a world, right? But there's discipline. There's discipline on the government. There's discipline on the church. There's discipline on academia. The idea is to come back to this purification time will break strongholds in the church. Because right now and in the past, recent past, we've seen chaos, confusion, anger, rage, and apostasy. And so when these kinds of things happen, historically, the Lord has always purified his church. He disciplines those whom he loves. Remember the picture of the tsunami. We've been listening to Prophetic Insights, and we've been hearing this word of a tsunami, of like how the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the kingdom of God, is going to be coming in a great big series of waves of the Holy Spirit, likened unto a tsunami. And what happens when a tsunami happens? You know, the water on the beach recedes. So water that usually is there to cover whatever, you know, is underneath, bottom feeders, etc., is pulled back, and the bottom that's never exposed to the sun is exposed to the sun. And in a certain way, that's the image that we've been getting, is this image of a tsunami of the Holy Spirit. God is getting ready to work significantly in our world, or perhaps more showily than we are used to, because he's always working. By first exposing evil, corruption, bottom feeders, bottom dwellers, darkness, right? Through the pulling back of the waves. And I think that applies to the world, the culture, the government, and of course, the church. You know, I mean, you know, if you read anything about, you know, you and I are avid readers of church news and what's going on in the worldwide church and how the German bishops are saying this and the Dutch theologian is saying this other thing and this other, you know, apostate theologian and somewhere else is saying, you know, and you're like, what is the world coming to? You know, even just the idea, there is confusion, right? Like, and then there's the whole thing online about how some people say the bishops should not have closed the churches and they should not have suspended masses and the Pope shouldn't have done this and then this other thing should have done that. And then on the other side says, oh, no, the church, you know, religion is non-essential. Religion is right there with beauty parlors, you know, and gyms, right?
Right. The state is telling us that we're non-essential. Yeah. What so does that tell you?
It's an interesting position because we want to be good citizens, and of course we want to protect our brothers and sisters, but what kind of message is this sending out to the culture when the church agrees to be shut down completely? I would submit there may have been other ways to do it, but you know, I understand that the good faith and the cooperation with the government is what's important.
Well, and I don't think anyone really knew what to expect, how this would take effect. And I think that there's going to be some changes made hopefully soon that we can get back into church under certain circumstances. But, you know, when Peter was giving this talk about the discipline, he called it a season of discipline. This is not going to be a week or two. That's why he wants us to be prepared. That's why he wants us to be quiet. That's why he wants us to take this time to abide in the Lord, to grow in our faith, because this is not a short-term thing. This is something that, you know, once the Lord has finished with us, it will end. It's in his hands and not ours, and we need to be prepared.
That's right. You know, I was thinking about John Paul II, before he was John Paul II, when he was still Archbishop Cardinal of Krakow, in 1978, came to the United States and addressed the American bishops, the U.S. bishops. And at that time, he uttered a very prophetic word, which I don't think was really remarked upon until the past, you know, 5-10 years. And he said something like, we are now facing the last days. We are facing the time of the confrontation, the final confrontation between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between the church and the anti-church. And then he said, went on to say something like, and there will be great tribulation, but how else has the church been built if not by the blood of the believers and the saints? Very sobering. You kind of wonder what the U.S. bishops thought about that Polish cardinal telling them all this stuff, right? But he's turned out to be fairly prophetic about all this, right?
Right. And our natural habit is to hear that and then dismiss it because it's unsettling to us.
Right.
We're going to kind of go into our denial mode. And I think under the circumstances today, the Lord is saying, you know, you can't hide. You've got to make some decisions here.
He grabs us in a certain sense, like we do with our kids. You know, he needs to get our attention. And if we're out there in La La Land, consuming, working on the gerbil wheel, then he's going to have to do something like pause a divine cosmic reset button, right? But that helps us. It disciplines us. It purifies us. Because in the end, as Peter pointed out, we are a nation of priests. We are a culture of priests. He wants us to get realigned with him in the face of a world that seems to be redefining reality, right? So we have all these instances of how reality, biological reality, spiritual reality, physical reality is being redefined by basically a class of wishful thinkers, thinking that you can redefine, you know, the gender is fluid, that you can redefine marriage, that you can worry about several thousands of people who have died of coronavirus, which is awful, terrible, but without saying a word about the millions of souls that are snuffed out through abortion every year. I mean, you know, the whole thing is kind of a little bit out of whack, right?
Right.
So sometimes the Lord would use the discipline of a little tiny nonsense, you know, not even alive particle to call us out of darkness into his wonderful light. In my prayer time today, I was drawn into a verse by the prophet Isaiah, which just hit me between the eyes, and I think we can close our show today with that. It was in the Divine Office, and it was Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. And because, you know, you pray about, you know, your loved ones who are blind, the culture that's blind, maybe, you know, certain church officials are blind, whatever, you know, maybe we are blind too, you know. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 42, and I will lead the blind in a way that they know not, in paths that they may not have known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, and the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them. So the Lord is telling us he's not going to forsake us. He's not. We might feel like we're being abandoned, especially in the face of the panic, just absolute unshirted panic that people have been experiencing through this virus. But the Lord is saying, I will protect you. I will guide you, and I'm going to show you some stuff that you haven't seen before. So I suppose the question is, how shall we respond to the Lord's severe mercy, to the Lord's severe discipline? Join us next time, and we'll continue. Thank you.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/ Red Box Media. Experience coffee like never before.